This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels. Welcome to another evening of Road School Moms Live. Happy Sunday night, coming to you live from Montana. My name is Kimberly Travaglino, co-founder of Full Time Families Camping Club and Road School Mom to four exuberant kiddos. On the line with me tonight is my beautiful co-host.
Hey, Kimberly. It's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, also a Road School Mom of four beautiful kiddos. On the road this week in Illinois, our last weekend here for a while, and excited to be here with you tonight, no matter where in the world you are.
Absolutely. How are you doing, Mary Beth? How was your road school this week?
Oh, we're good. We are just kind of settling in our summer routine, just kind of taking it easy and focusing on kind of everybody's favorite areas of their road school, and we're actually starting to look towards our fall curriculum and starting to put things together and toying around with just some different methods that we're going to use. As you know, we've been working on copy work this summer, and so we're going to implement that into our regular curriculum over the next 6 months. So we're looking for resources for that, and that's just kind of what we're doing. How does your road school look?
Oh, our road school was really busy in the vein that, you know, we kicked off last week, Monday, we actually kicked off the scavenger hunt. And so the kiddos are helping me judge the scavenger hunt pictures, of which I am swimming in a sea of pictures. If you're if you don't know what I'm talking about the Full Time Families Summer Scavenger Hunt powered by Lazy Days, the RV Authority. And what that is a scavenger hunt that you can partake in from anywhere in the world. It started on Monday. Every week, families get 25 challenges, and they must take 25 pictures. And I have hundreds of families playing. Have you seen those pictures, Mary Beth?
I have. We have enjoyed so much watching them through my feed. We've had limited internet access for several weeks where we are. We've actually taken several pictures this week, and I don't know that we'll even get them uploaded at midnight. And I think at this point, although we're doing it because of the scavenger hunt, but at this point, it's just so much fun that that's the main point for us, you know. But the pictures have been so great, and that so many people are so creative. It's just really fun to watch.
They
Great idea.
Some of my favorite pictures are challenge number 3 is a photo of a fountain. And challenge number 4 is a photo in the fountain. And those are some of my favorite. As they come across, people actually, you know, get pulled up their pants and dipping their toes in a fountain. I just think that's a memory that your family will have forever. Remember that time we stood in that fountain for that crazy picture? You know, it's just not something that people normally do. And I just think that's so much fun. I love to see those come through. And there's so many. Christmas tree, so many people have gotten so creative with the Christmas tree ones. And it's pretty hard to find Christmas trees in the middle of July.
I love the palm tree that someone did with their palms, and they put a cardboard box, and you know, all the family members used the palms of their hand as the palm tree. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes, I love that one too. And I love the other one, if your family was a band.
Yes, awesome.
Those are coming through so funny. Some people are taking pictures of their family with all instruments, and other people are, you know, saying if our family was a band, this one would be the diva, and this one would be the crazy lead singer. It's just so much fun. So much fun. So many pictures. But fun.
I think a full-time family's yearbook is in the making in the future.
Oh,
in the future.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. I like that idea. So that's what we've been doing all week. We've been completely, that's not true, because as you know, I'm not going to reveal what we're doing, but we're also in the midst of a super secret project.
Yes, we are.
And So we're getting submissions for our super secret project. Stay tuned. Next week we will reveal it. And that's been a lot of fun. And I think what's happening, and does this happen to you as an entrepreneur, as a business owner who's really in charge of her whole domain and can do whatever she wants with her business, I find that the more I do with the business, the more tasks I add to myself, to the business. And I've got this list of things nailed down that I want to get done for 2014, and I keep adding more things. Does that happen to you?
It does happen to me, and I'll say it does. It's hard to stay focused on the things that should be on your immediate to-do list. And I think, I learned that from you. I think one of the very first times that you and I met in person, you talked to me about having goals and writing them down and having them posted somewhere where I could see them, and I'd done that. And I do still have those. I have 5 goals for this year for Road Trip Teacher and our Road School 101 crew. And those are my overall goals, but I have a couple of other subdivisions, I guess you'd call it, of my goal list. And those are maybe longer term, something that I just want to always keep in the back of my mind. So I try to not clutter up my main goals with all those other added goals. That's how I, I think it's the same thing you're talking about, but that's how I organize it, to try not, because I get overwhelmed very easily with details and crazy thoughts, and as you know, it doesn't take much for me to go off on a tangent about a new project. So I try to keep myself in check that way. And if that doesn't work, then I usually call you.
Right. And I do the same with you. This brings up a really good point for our people who are tuning in to the first Sunday of the month, those shows that are dedicated to creating your location independent dream job. Focus. And daily tasks, working bit by bit on your business and really focusing on the business, I think that's the secret to success. I think that as entrepreneurs, we do get distracted, but as long as we are making progress on our business every day and moving forward every day, even if it's not what we intended, even if it's not one of those 5 things on the list, but it does come back to doing something to benefit our business, I think that's the key to success. Just picture a huge iceberg, and your business is at the very center of it, and you just chip and chip and chip until you finally get there. Maybe like a nice sculpture of a unicorn things.
With a rainbow in the background.
Absolutely.
With lollipops floating down from the sky. You know, I think
right.
that you're absolutely right, and that's just the one thing I think that is always so important to remember, is that no matter the only bad decision that you can make is no decision, and I think it's the same, it's true with that. It's the only, if you don't make any progress at all, that's the negative. If you can just make any baby step forward at all, then, that's progress, and it's all about progress, and it doesn't mean you have to make giant leaps, every day. Just
right.
Keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward.
Absolutely. That's absolutely. I think you're right about that. If you don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about the Location Independent Dream Job series that Mary Beth and I created and started last week, last first Sunday of the month, and you can get that at roadschoolmoms.com. It's right there in the scroll, one of the shows. You click on that, and you can start tuning in, because we're talking tonight to a Road School Mom who took a year off with her family to explore the country. And, you and I were full-time on the road, and we don't have an end date, but there are a lot of families that want to take a year off. And if you want to take a year off, setting yourself up with a location-independent business where you make passive income is a really good idea. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and click on that show after the show is over, of course. Go ahead and click on that show, and then you can learn how to start getting the exercises delivered right to your inbox to start moving forward with your own business. I want to say something about taking a year off. When Chris finally acquiesced to my constant nagging for us to live in a camper and tour the country, in his mind, he agreed to 1 year. Now, that didn't mean anything to me.
No, right.
But that's really where he was. And a lot of families do that, right? They start and we'll just do it for 1 year and see what happens, or we're only going to do it for 1 year. I know there's some families getting off the road right now because their year is over, and there's new families getting on the road because their year is just beginning. And I'm really excited to talk to Gretchen from the Road Scholars and I'll put the link in the chat in a few minutes, about taking a year off. Did you ever have a plan to make it just a year, Mary Beth?
We did not. You know, we didn't have a plan to try full-time travel in the first place. Ours, we totally fell into it by accident. But I can tell you that I never thought for a single second that a year would be enough for us. We kind of moved pretty quickly forward into our decision to full-time. But I think one thing that's really important for anybody that's listening and anyone in our group to know that we are not exclusively a group of full-time road school moms. You know, we have different forms of road school, and we talk about, you know, the different kinds of homeschool that we do while we're traveling. But, you know, whether you are intentionally on the road for 3 months or over the summer or every weekend or, you know, throughout the year or just for a year or for the rest of your life, you know, we're all on the same path. And I love to meet up with other women such as Gretchen that we're going to get to talk to in a few minutes and just, you know, hear about how they organize that and what the parameters that they thought of, you know, before they left. Because I think for me that would be daunting because I'm very much, I don't know what the word is, but when I know that there's a deadline or an end date to something, it stresses me out. I mean, I start thinking about, you know, there's only one more time to do this, or this is our last week to do that, or this time next year we won't be doing this. You know, that I'm very much a person that, you know, gets overwhelmed by that crazy thought. So I'm interested to talk to her.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm glad you said the word parameters, because I'm thinking just logistically alone in my head, there's 48 states. There's 52 weeks in a year. I'm already lost.
Yeah, right?
But I'm just talking contiguous U.S. states. But, yeah, I'm already like, wow, how can you move that fast? Can you not go to all the states? Because for some reason, if you say a year to tour the country, I'm thinking you're going to all of them. That's probably
well, you know, and if you're interested in tonight's podcast with Gretchen and Rogue Scholars, be sure to stay tuned for our upcoming schedule, because we have another mom that, if you remember, we're going to talk to in about a month that took a year off, and they traveled internationally. So I think there's just so many different, you know, you and I think, just like you're saying, and I still think the same way, you know, our goal is to hit every state or to hit every national park or whatever. You know, most of us have a goal that includes all the states. But I think there are some that doesn't really enter their mind. I mean, you know, maybe they're looking to, you know, just go in certain parts of the country. I don't know. It'll just be interesting to talk to her.
Yes, absolutely. Have you seen that infographic about how to do all 50 states in a single road trip?
I have not.
Oh, I'll have to find it and post it in the chat. It winds through all these areas, and I think that there's, like, sites to visit explored on it. I want to tell you, we've been traveling for over 4 years, and we've only done 37 states. So that would be
I think, don't you think that when you first start out, you're gung-ho and you're, I mean, because I know that I think we hit 23 states our first year, and I think we've hit 5 this year. So I think you're gung-ho. You know, when you start out, you're going here and going there, and, you know, you just want to eat it all up because it's so exciting and so new, and you're just so free, and you just want to keep on going. And then at some point, you know, you start realizing all the things that you're missing. And I'm not saying that that's not a good thing, but, you know, for us, I just wanted to slow down. There was, you know, there were so many things that we were missing, and, you know, when you stop and slow down and look around, you just see a lot more.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right about that. I talk about that in How to Hit the Road, specifically because there are times in our travels, I can remember the Grand Canyon being one of them, where we had done so much and seen so many beautiful things in such a condensed time that when we got to the Grand Canyon, we were like, okay, hole in the earth. Next. That was like, this is wrong. Something's very wrong here. We've seen too much. We've done too much too fast to actually appreciate what it is we're doing, not having it as an aside, how much money we burn through because you have to eat everything and see everything, and, oh, my gosh, you'll never get this chance again. And I felt during this journey of ours, this huge, enormous leap in maturity when I could finally say, if I don't make it this time around, I'll probably get another opportunity in the future. and just being able to let things go. Because when we first got on the road, like you said, I was dragging us all over the place. Everyone was exhausted, and I was like, but we can't miss this. Every county fair, every parade that every small Texas place has right before the Houston rodeo, everything that you could think of, I was pouring through the newspapers to find every local event that we could be a part of, and every must-see attraction that we couldn't pass by, and it was exhausting.
Yeah, I agree. And even this spring when we left our home, you know, our road school convention in Tucson, as you know, we had to head back because of a medical condition in my family. And I was so, I mean, we had planned, we had been through the Grand Canyon, like you said, our first year just in a quick flash, and we didn't get to spend any time there. So it was our plan this last spring to spend some time in the Grand Canyon, as you know, and we didn't get to do that. And that was probably one of my first aha moments with our lifestyle, was that my first instinct was, oh, my gosh, we're not going to get to go to the Grand Canyon. This was, you know, we had looked forward to it so much, and we're going to pass it by. And, you know, my husband said, we'll catch it next time. We'll be out this way again soon. You know, and I just, you know, it just kind of hit me that, yeah, you know, we can do that. You know, and there's no reason to be in a rush and no reason to feel like that the world's going to end if you don't stop and see the world's largest hammer or whatever it is alongside the road, because chances are you're going to be back down the highway again sometime over in the future.
Right, exactly. I'm all for seeing the world's largest hammer and anything else that goes along. It's so up my alley, it's not even funny. I want to talk about, before Gretchen comes on, I want to talk about also what we've been doing this summer. I keep meaning to talk about this on the show, and I keep forgetting about it, and then every night. As you know, we talked about many weeks ago Thomas Jefferson Education, and one of the things I took to heart from that program is reading a family read aloud every night. And so we were reading the classics, and we were enjoying that. And then some of that got a little dry, so we decided to move on. And what I found was these book series, they're a random book series, there's no one book series to point to, that just discuss life in a particular time in American history in a particular locale. So right now we're reading about the Gold Rush, which is perfect because we're going to be heading to Seattle in a few weeks, and that was where they jumped off, the miners jumped off to go to the Klondike. And there's actually a Klondike Museum there. So we've been really immersing ourselves in this upcoming and our upcoming travels, and we've been doing a really great job with all these books, and they remind me of your road trip teacher curriculums, which are smaller, more easily digestible versions of exactly what we're doing. But gosh, it's so fun to be able to have a little bit of a plan. Okay, which direction are we headed? Oh, we're going there. Good. Let's research about what's significant about that place in American history, and then immerse ourselves in it. So by the time we get there, we can really reach out and touch it and feel it and assimilate that knowledge. Do you do that?
Right. And yes, and I appreciate your comments about my study guides over at roadtripteacher.com. And that's really, you know, as you know, that's why I started writing those, you know, for my own kids. And then I get comments every now and then about, you know, wow, there's not very much information about this or that. And I do that intentionally because I don't want to overwhelm my kids with my own thoughts, because I really, I love to learn. I love to learn something new every day. When we go to an area, I'm the biggest kid in the bunch. You know, I'm skipping through and I want to read all the signs and do all the badges and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so when I write the study guides, I try to touch on, you know, 10 or 12 locations or subjects or, you know, something related to that area that we're going to, that just gives my road school crew the parameters to learn a little bit about a lot of different things. And then from that, they can kind of rabbit trail and take off, you know, and learn something that they're interested, you know, in. And I love it, like you say, when you can end up your trip to that certain area with some sort of a kind of carrot, you know, at the end, you know, with a museum or something that really pulls everything that you've talked about together, and they can actually see it and touch it and feel it. You know, when they leave there, they really know that they've learned it, they've seen it, and they file it away in their memory, and, you know, they'll talk about it for lots of times to come.
Absolutely. And the other big thing that I've learned, so I'm reading the book, And I'm thinking, are they digesting every last tidbit that I'm reading out loud? And I'm consumed with that. But I have to take a big step back and say, they're going to get out of it what they're going to get out of it. And they're going to get enough out of it. That's the other part, you know, where our ego gets all wrapped up in the road school. And we start thinking, are they getting enough out of it? Are they going to be gold rush scholars by the time we're done? And the answer is probably not. But they'll have a really good idea of where it happened, and they'll have a good idea of the hardships that were incorporated within that journey and those risks that those men took. And they'll have a good idea of the time period that it happened, and all the really important big chunks they'll understand. So that's, I keep vacillating back and forth. There's that perfectionist in me that wants them to know everything there is to know about whatever it is that we're studying. But then I have to take a big step back and realize that I'm 41 and I'm learning this for the first time. So why does my 7-year-old have to be an expert?
Well, and that just, you know, it talks to us a little bit about control, and we've already, you know, we've talked about that before. And I'm the same way. You know, I love nothing more, especially because I do what I do. You know, I want them to be little road trip teacher robots. I want them to spin off those facts and figures, you know, from study guides. And I have to take myself back a lot of times and remind myself that that's not the most important thing, you know, that if they understand what the Constitution means, you know, and where it was written and who it was written by and what the really the deeper meaning of it is, that's way more important than knowing, you know, just being able to rattle off the dates of when it was written, you know, and how many people signed it or whatever. So I think it's just really important to let your road school crew make their own way, you know, a little bit. And because 9 times out of 10 with mine, you know, when they're interested in something, they gobble it up. And, you know, they're going to learn better the things that they're interested in. That's a proven fact.
Right, exactly. And you know, it's just really hard to let that go. I think that comes from you and I going to school and being tested.
I agree.
I don't do tests in my road school. Do you do tests?
I don't. You know, I we do time for learning on some of our subjects, and there are quizzes at the end of those. And our first year, which we won't have to go into this, but our first year I was a tester and we done quizzes and I kept track of it, and we don't do that anymore. They do the quizzes only because they like to see the master's sign at the end of their chapter. But we really don't, you know, I don't really record those as grades and hold it against anyone. If anything, what we do is if they go through things like that, if they, you know, if they miss something altogether, then we go back and reread it because 9 times out of 10, they just didn't understand it. So, you know, I kind of use anything like that as a tool more than a test, and we don't do tests.
Yes, no, we don't do tests either, and so I just have to have faith. And they do. I do know that they do. They are really soaking this up. I know they are. Just building that confidence as an educator when you're also the mom and you're also the chief cook and bottle washer. It's a long haul. I think it's one of the hardest parts. You know, people say to me all the time, oh, I would never have the patience to homeschool. I would never be able to do that. My children wouldn't listen to me. I don't find that. A lot of the times my kids do their things on their own completely. I'm not sitting there over there, you know, lecturing them. We do this family read aloud. It's just having enough confidence in yourself to say, you know what, they're getting it. It's all going to work out in the end.
Well, that's very true, and I think confidence is a good word. I mean, you have to have confidence in yourself and confidence in them and really confidence in the foundation that you're building for your kids, because whether or not you've homeschooled for 6 months or 6 years or all of your kids' life, you know, all of us have been homeschooling our kids since day one. I mean, we're the ones that, you know, most likely taught them how to walk and talk and, you know, some of us done sign language when they were little, or, you know, all those quirky things that we all do with them when they're toddlers and babies, and, you know, it just grows from there. So have confidence in yourself, road school moms, because you know what you're doing. You just have to, you know, let up on the mom guilt a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, it's going to be, there's going to be a whole new host of road school moms come this September. And so Meredith and I are putting together a bunch of shows that have to do with back to school. And I'm really excited about that. We've got tips on helping you organize your road school. We've got tips on finding that confidence and taking, you know, big steps back and letting your children learn you know, just relaxing, going with the flow. Which I wish, you know, I have that one blog post, Relax, New Homeschool Mom, It's All Going to Be Okay. I wish that I had read that before I started, or if I had read it, I wish I had taken it to heart, because it's completely possible that I could have read it and said, oh, no, that's not for me.
I totally agree with that, because I remember reading things like that and saying, well, that's not me. They don't understand. You know, that's not me at all. That's not what we're doing.
Right.
And then now I look back and think, that's exactly what I was doing.
Right. Right. For some reason, you thought that was what Slacker Moms did. And we're going to break your neck to make sure that your kids learn that breakneck speed. And, you know, we're just prodigies in everything they did, which is lovely, but not realistic.
Mm-hmm. Realistic. That's a good word.
Well, I have some news. It's now 7:27, and I don't think Gretzky's joining us.
Okay. Well, that's
so,
okay.
Yeah. So we can keep going on. I know that you and I always have a lot of things to discuss. I'm really not expert on just doing this for a year, because, as I said, it was never in my realm.
Right. I can tell you a little bit about, you know, we're going to talk next month. I believe it's the 7th, around the I don't know, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but it's around the middle of August. We're going to be talking with Stephanie from A Keeper of the Home, and she has a great website for all kinds of homeschool tips and just family management and recipes, and, you know, she just kind of has an all-around great website. It's not specifically geared towards traveling, but interestingly, she took her family on they took a year off, and they've done a trip around the world, and I don't want to give too much away, but they traveled in several countries, not just two or three. They traveled in several countries over that time, and their story's amazing. And so we'll have plenty of time to catch up with the Road School Mom and get some tips on the parameters of traveling for 1 year with her next month. You know, Kimberly, someone on the chat, I don't know if you've seen this, but said that they can barely hear you. I'm not sure. I thought that earlier, but then I thought maybe it was just me. So I'm just throwing that out there. And maybe we lost Kimberly.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
That's better. That's better.
Okay, well, let me unplug my microphone and see if that helps at all.
I thought it was just me, but someone on the chat mentioned it, actually.
Do you, and how about now? Can you hear me?
That is so much better. We can hear you.
Oh. Yay. Okay, forget it. No microphone. For some reason, oh, it was unplugged. Okay, so that's that. As you know, because we are podcasters, I am obsessed with listening to podcasts now, absolutely obsessed, and I'm constantly looking for podcasts of interest. You may also know that we have been work camping. Susan and I have been work camping for the last 2 months, and so it's been perfect to throw on my headphones and go change the sheets in about 52 cabins every day. It's been so much fun. So, the podcasts have been really keeping me company, and I had the opportunity to be on a podcast, not this one, a different one. The, what was that called? Do you remember Great American Adventure? The Great Adventure podcast, I think it's called. And
The Hemingways is all I can think of.
Hemingways on with us for Father's Day. So if you love podcasts, The Great Adventure Podcast, I'm looking it up to make sure I'm getting the name right.
I'm doing the same thing.
I think it's called Great Adventures Podcast, and we can put the, no, maybe not. Oh, but this looks like a nice one, too. you can listen into those. I love podcasts about traveling, because it gives me great ideas for where to go next or things to put on our bucket list. And I just love travel stories in general. I've always been a sucker for travel stories. When I go to a bookstore, the first section I go to, I love travel literature. I love that we created our own travel literature, because when I went to those bookstores, Barnes & Noble and Borders at the time,
I always went to that section looking for RV family stories, and I never found them, and I was very discouraged waiting for someone to produce RV family stories. So eventually, we decided to produce our own, and we came up with the Chicks Without Bricks series, and it just blends right with my love of travel stories. So
it does, and the Family Adventure Podcast, that's what that's called, KT. I just put that on the chat, so if you're looking for that, it's familyadventurepodcast.com, and they have a Facebook group by the same name.
Another set of podcasts that I really love is the National Parks Podcast. You can search out any national parks on iTunes, and the podcast for that national park will come up, and that's great for if you're getting ready to go tour a national park. A lot of times when I go to a national park, I feel overwhelmed. I feel like they're very large. There's a lot to see. I feel like some of it will be out of our reach because we have little ones and going on those big, you know, 2 mile hikes, even 2 miles is big for us, is out of our reach. And so I do feel overwhelmed. And do you get that way too?
I do. And I think that comes, I'm not a planner. It's funny when you look at our first year, I was this crazy planner right down to the campgrounds per night, and we were going here and we were going there, and now I'm on this, you know, just no plan. Like I call it, we're just on a wing and a prayer. But I think that's what happens. If you don't have some sort of print, you know, some sort of organization or planning when you go to, you know, a site like that, it's easy to get overwhelmed because there is so much to see. And you have to have some sort of, you have to have some sort of focus of what you're really there for. Are you there for the Junior Ranger program, or are you there to see, you know, the hike, or are you there to see, you know, the science centers or nature center or whatever. You have to have a focus, I think, before you get there and know what you're really going for.
Absolutely. And with that focus, you know, I'm always worried that I'm going to pull out of a national park, head to somewhere else, run into someone and say, where'd you come from? Oh, I just came from so-and-so national park. Oh, did you see the XYZ thing? It's the best thing there. And we say no. That's one of my greatest fears, that nothing would irritate me more. We just talked about, you know, having peace of mind and knowing that we'll come back to things. But if I'm already at a place, then it's high on my list to see the big things, the big ticket items. And a lot of times, these national parks, you have to do a lot of research ahead of time in order to determine what it is that your family wants to see, like you said, with the focus. So I really like these podcasts, especially because think of the potential of listening to them in the car on the way to the national park.
Yep.
Really.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea, actually. I have not listened to a lot of podcasts before we started doing this. I mean, I will have to admit. But it's just a great way to, listen to information with your family. It's great because you can stop it and start it or replay it or listen to it again if there's something that someone didn't understand. And it's just a great way to, you know, listen to the information without a lot of – you don't really have to concentrate too much. And that's a good thing.
Yes. And it's also a great break. You know, as I mentioned earlier in our show, we do the family read-aloud, which is awesome, but it's me talking blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So – it's really nice to be able to plug in a podcast. I have one of those cute little iPod speakers, and we all just can listen together, and even I get a little relaxing break. And I like that some of them are really short. They've got some for kids. They had these ones. I can't find them anymore, but there were these two groundhogs called Wilson and Ditch that popped up all over the country. Like, they popped up at Niagara Falls, and then they gave the kids and the adults listening all this information about Niagara Falls, and then they'd burrow back down and pop up at Rushmore and give kids that. And that was so much fun for the kids. They called it Digging America. I know they have a website, but I can't find any more of their podcasts. I can find episodes, which is nice, but I really like the idea of listening orally because it makes the kids use their own imagination. And I feel like it's enough screen time in our lives that I don't, you know, it's nice to watch a movie that happens in a certain locale, but I don't want all my research to be done with just screen time.
Okay, I have to tell you. Oh my gosh, I just found this. It's Wilson and Ditch. It's actually a PBS Kids resource now. Maybe that's why you weren't finding it. But it's, you actually go to pbskids.org, and then it's under Wilson and Ditch Radio. I'm going to post this on our chat. And if you're listening later on a podcast, if you go to our roadschoolmoms.com website or our Facebook group, it'll be posted there, actually, on our Facebook page. We'll do that here in a few minutes. But that looks so – I've never seen this before. This is right up our alley. That looks so much fun.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We listened to a whole bunch of them in the beginning. Definitely worth checking out.
Okay, so tell me something. I know that you've you're working on some different things with your work camping experience, but I just have to know, and not specifically geared towards the specific park you're at, because I know that the people that you're working for and with at that park have been, you know, great to work with. But is this an experience that you are going to look for again in the very near future, or are you going to leave there and just be free to travel? Do you have a plan?
Oh, you're taking the spoiler from my upcoming confessions from a work camping family.
Well, but then don't spoil it. I don't want to know that kind of information. I just want to know, are you so in love with it that what you're doing next, or do you know where you're going next? Besides, you know, when you get to Seattle, what's next for the Travaglinos?
We are going to be tearing Seattle down. I have a list as long as Chris's arms. He's thrilled beyond belief. So all the things that we are going to be doing in Seattle. But to answer your question very quickly, I am very happy we had this experience. I'm very much looking forward to not knowing what day it is again for quite a while. I'm very much looking forward to having my time be my own again. But it's really great that we had this experience, because I will appreciate those things so much more all over again. We had been getting a little ungrateful about the time we had spent that, you know, where we were so autonomous. And it was just an all-around great experience. Work camping is not off the books for us for the future. But for what we have no plans in sight, no destination in sight to work camp again within the next 6 to 12 months. But in Seattle, you've been to Seattle, right, Mary Beth?
I have. I love it out there. We didn't get to spend a lot of time there. That was in our first year, so that was the whirlwind tour. But, yes, we've been there.
So there's this troll under the bridge, right? We talked about the world's biggest hammer. Well, all you need to tell me is that there's a public art sculpture somewhere, and I must see it. Must be there. So there's this Fremont troll. Did you get to see him?
No, I did not. Of course not. We went through there in a whirlwind. Did you not hear me?
Yeah, I did, but, you know, I don't know. Some people go to Pike Place and some people go to the troll when they have limited amount of time. But the troll, the Klondike National Park Historic Site, you can do an underground tour of Seattle, which we are absolutely going to do. I'm really excited about that. We talked last week about ghost tours and how that was a great way to see a locale. This underground tour, I believe, is going to be in the same kind of vein. It's going to be a totally different view, pardon the pun, of Seattle. Right now, on my Facebook feed, there is a very well-written blogger, Corianne Kahn. She was at the Road School Convention with us, and she's in Seattle. And everything she posts, I put in a list of things that I'm just sad that she's there, like, you know, a couple weeks ahead of us, because otherwise I would have just stalked her the entire time. But huge list of Pike's Place, as I mentioned, the fish market, a huge list of things. I'm really excited. It's been a long time. It's been since Tucson that we were in a metropolitan-type area, and I always get excited about cities. Chris, not so much. Finding parking for a dually in a city is never fun. So we'll utilize mass transit. But I love cities. I worked in New York City for a long time. So I'm really excited. And then once I go through this city, I'll be good for another 3 to 6 months, because I'll leave and say, oh, cities, what a pain in the neck.
Well, and it's just a fun way to, you know, teach our kids about, like you said, about mass transit and getting around and, you know, our kids are used to traveling, and, you know, we're in campgrounds, and we don't tend to be in a lot of metropolitan areas, like you said, somewhere with a lot of traffic. So I think it's a great way to get them acclimated to, you know, a different environment. And, you know, there's different forms of traveling, and it's good for them to know how to make it around in those kinds of places.
Right. Right. It is. And I, like I said, having worked in New York City, that career girl, that 20-year-old career girl, kind of picture Mary Tyler Moore on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, comes out, and I start, you know, spinning in circles and throwing berets up into the air. It's a phenomenon worth seeing. But it's not Chris's favorite place. He much prefers the country, much prefers being able to spread out and small country roads, but that's okay. It's wonderful to be able to balance that in. But before we go to Seattle, we're going to Spokane, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and I've got that great big wheeled wagon on my list.
Well, that's so fun. We took the most fun pictures there. Tyler, my oldest, acted like he was getting ran over by the wagon, and somebody was inside the wagon wheel. I mean, it's ginormous. You just can't imagine how big it is until you get there to see it. And that park, I can't remember the name of the park, but I know we've talked about it. It's downtown there. It's really pretty. It's right on the river and the gray area. A lot of fun things to see in Spokane.
Yeah, and we're going to be traveling through Coeur d'Alene, which I hear is absolutely beautiful.
That's one place that on our first year that it wasn't even on our radar, and I think we stayed in Coeur d'Alene like 5 nights or something. It's beautiful there. Beautiful country. I thought Idaho was all about potatoes. Boy, was I wrong.
And you're going to be traveling too.
We are. We're going to be going to Florida for a few weeks. I'm not sure exactly what is on our road schedule between Florida and Hershey, Pennsylvania, which is where we're going to be mid-September, but we are going to get back on the road and have some sights to see. And we're going to be at the road trip teacher is going to be at the Hershey Biggest RV Show in America, I think is how they tag it there in Hershey, Pennsylvania in September. So we're excited to get back on the road and see some things. We've enjoyed our time here in Indiana and Illinois in the Midwest, but itching to get back on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little worried for you going to Florida in the heat, but
I know. We'll probably be frying eggs on the pavement, but I don't care. I'm just ready to get on the road. We, as you know, we still one of my girls is involved in gymnastics down there, and because it's worked out so far that we've been stationary, we've wintered in Florida, and she's participated in a team sport in Naples, and so that's why we're headed to Florida, so that she can participate in a gymnastics camp for a couple of weeks. So that's our purpose for going there. It's time driven.
Yeah, that's you know, that's really hard. The dedication that both you and she has shown to, you know, being a part of that extracurricular activity, that's one of the more difficult things to accomplish on the road. So kudos to both of you for your commitment to that.
It is, and I question it sometimes because it really does. In all honesty, it puts some pressure on the rest of our family. I can tell you that there's no way that we could have such a commitment with all four of our kids on the road. And so for that, I kind of feel guilty. But, you know, this particular sport for her, it really is her thing, and she gains a lot out of it. My other kids seem to crowd, you know, they're more flexible. They've done, you know, they've played baseball. They've, you know, the boys have played all different kinds of ball. They ride dirt bikes. You know, so they're more, you know, they've kind of meshed better, I guess, with our travels. And, you know, my number three, she just can't get away from the gymnastics thing. And I don't want to take that away from her quite yet just because of our lifestyle. So far it works this way. Not for sure that will be for the future, but so far so good.
Right. And, you know, that you bring up a really good point. None of us know what the future is going to be like. A lot of people try to plan the heck out of their entire lives. But there's such an ebb and flow to our lives. What you can accomplish now, you can accomplish now, and so you should go for it. Whether you can do it 6 months, 12 months, 2 years from now, that shouldn't really factor into it. Just keep walking the walk, and when your family outgrows it or other things come into play, whatever it means, then you go with that, you know?
Yep. Well, I just think that what we do, it's just such an evolution for me. You know, we really evolved, and
I've really learned, you know, I was never a person that, you know, never say never and all that. I just, I don't know, you really have to just take a step back and remember the things that are important and be flexible and see what happens next, because it's all in God's hands as far as I'm concerned. And I just have kind of taken a back seat to the decision making and just kind of let things happen. And as you know, my new saying is, it is what it is, and things are a lot easier for me when I feel that way.
Absolutely. And my favorite saying is, you're always where you need to be. And
yes, and I love that. And you do say that a lot, and I do love that saying because it's so true.
You know, when you turn around and you get frustrated and you're feeling like, oh, I could be doing so much more with my life right now, or I should be on the road. If you're sitting in your house waiting for your launch to come, I should be on the road. Or if you're on the road and you're questioning your decision to be on the road, or wherever you are, I just find so much peace in the belief that God has put me right there at that minute for what He needs me to do, and then I just move on, you know.
Well, I think that when you stop searching so much for the answer, you know, it just happens a lot easier when you don't, you know, when you're not searching so hard and looking so hard for some grand sign, you know, or some sign in the middle of the road that says, turn left right here, you know. I think it's just a lot more subtle than that, and I think you just have to have faith and trust that that's the plan and see what happens next.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a little over 10 minutes left, and let's take some time. We talked about some of the resources we use in road school, but it's always good to talk about what resources work in our road school. We talked about Wilson and Ditch. We talked about road school, road trip teachers curriculum. What else do you really like to use in your road school, Mary Beth, as a resource? And it could be anything from apps to hard copy to television shows, whatever it is. What do you like to use?
Well, I have found just in the last, and I'll say that I some of the things that I found that I really like, I just found them kind of at the end of last year, and I was kind of not irritated, but I was a little disappointed because I felt like last year for us was a little bit of a difficult road school year, kind of towards the end. We had trouble focusing and sticking with things, and we kept jumping around doing different things. And I seemed like that so, like, math manipulatives. We ran across a homeschool, or a, not a homeschool, but a like a teacher's resource store in South Florida, and they were had a big sale on a lot of their games, and it was like the quick card games and dice and things like that. And so I put together a basket that's got a lot of math-related games, I guess, and just kind of some hands-on things that they can do between one or two of my kids at the same time. And that's one thing that I love, is to have that basket, because if I need to spend time with one child doing something or maybe reading with my younger one, you know, it gives them some time to kind of have some free time and be independent, have some fun, but still be learning. So that's probably one of my favorite resources. Read aloud, that's something that we just got, you know, we've been talking about tonight, but that's one thing that we really got into towards the end of the year. Copy work, as you know, I'm a big copy work person right now. So copy work for all of our subjects are going to be big for us this year in our real school. I'm really excited. I just even found a resource to use copy work in our math, not for a lot of it, but for some of it, some of the repetition and some of the facts and things that we want to know. So we're excited to use that. And you know, my kids are, you know, they like video games. They all have some sort of a tablet or an iPad, and we do a lot of apps. You know, they spend probably at least 30 to 40 minutes during a typical road school day with some form of an app. My older boys, I'll turn them loose usually on some sort of a math app, and they all have some sort of reading apps on theirs as well. So I'd say that's probably my top four or five things in our road school that are my favorite, can't live without currently. How about you?
We have a video set from the History Channel. I'm trying to look it up right now. And it's about the United States of America. And I love it because while I'm setting up my RV after we've pulled into a new state and I'm setting up the RV and decompressing our lives and letting the slides out, I pop it in and it goes into a 15-minute segment about the state and what makes the state notable and when it became a state and what how the people of the state identify themselves. And it's awesome. So, like I said, we've only hit 37 states, so we've only watched 37 of them. But sometimes we cheat and watch things that we're not going to be going to anytime soon, like Hawaii and Alaska. we have some, you know, burning question about something. I'm looking for it on the thing. It's not how the states got their shapes, but that we love. As far as apps, we love Stack the States. I am attracted to anything that represents the United States of America, whether it be a shower curtain. Wait till you see the whole new bunch of pillows that I'm getting in. I'm so excited about these. I'll be posting a picture. But if you put a picture of the United States and you cut it up into shapes of states, I'm probably going to buy it. So that's why I was attracted to this thing and Stack the States. My road school looks like this. Because I'm at work camping, every day I take one child with me. So it's one-on-one time with my child. One of the reasons why we're here work camping is to show the children what hard work looks like. They live a very convenient, cushy life because it's no problem to clean a 350-square-foot camper. It takes about 15 minutes. But I wanted them to see what it was like to clean other people's toilets and why it was important to get an education. So one of them comes with me, and then three of them stay home. One of them usually goes with Chris, too, because he's doing other things here. While they're home, they have to read for an hour, and they can read anything they want. They love reading fan fiction, Minecraft fan fiction. And I'm $50 a week in Minecraft books. These 13-year-olds that are writing these Minecraft books are making a mint on us. Because they go through a book a day, each of them.
Wow.
But it's worth it to me because, really, I don't spend a lot of money on my curriculum. So it's totally worth it to me for them to have these. They read an hour a day. They do typing for a half an hour a day. This summer we dedicated towards learning how to type, and gosh, the leaps and bounds they are making in typing is amazing. Their typing speed has come up so fast. It's really great to see that that's working for them. And they have to either email a family member or do a journal entry. They're not so crazy about the journal entries, but they love the emailing, and even every once in a while they email me. So it's really fun to get email from them about what's going on in the house while I'm gone and what their thoughts and feelings are. So that's what our school looked like. As far as those Minecraft books, you know, it makes me realize, Mary Beth, that we live in this amazing world where my daughter learns how to do Rainbow Loom from other people her age who are doing Rainbow Loom, recording it and putting it on YouTube. And my kids read books from kids their age.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an amazing time to be a kid, because the potential is endless. Yesterday, Blaze wanted to film a review of one of his birthday presents, and so he did, and he did an amazing job. He was an amazing narrator. He's watched so many reviews that he knew what he wanted to say and how to say it and what information he wanted to present. And then last night, both boys wrote a song.
Oh, so that is so funny, because I don't know who's writing songs in your house. And I know for a fact that our kids aren't communicating all that well right now, your kids and my kids, because my kids don't have a whole lot of internet right now. But my two youngest are crazy songwriters right now. That is so interesting that you just said that. They've wrote all these songs. I've even videotaped Tori the other night because she put hers to music.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's funny. Very similar story here. And speaking of Minecraft, I'll have to say, I left this out. You know, my kids... which I know yours do too. The what is it? SK Scrafty. It's Scrafty. The Scrafty site. When you rise up, We love their Minecraft program. My third grader, or soon-to-be third grader, she has read a Little House book and done a Minecraft class with that. My oldest, going into seventh grade, is getting ready to do the periodic table and the mystery of history, and he's all about that. And I love the Minecraft classes. My kids definitely do not feel like they're going to school or, you know, they're just having fun when they participate in those Minecraft classes. And they have them more, that are live classes, and they have them that are also self-paced. And I can't speak enough about that. And my kids also play on the Scrappy side, and we love Minecraft Mondays and the Minecraft within our full-time family server. My kids also very much enjoy the Scrappy server. There's a lot of really cool projects that go on with When You Rise Up.
Right. You know, we did that When You Rise Up, the Inventions class, and because we are still struggling with video game time in here, and we should totally do a show on handling video game time in your rig, I have actually added project time to their list of activities that they have to do while we're out, and they have to create anything they want. It can be made up, or it can be something that exists, anything they want in Minecraft, and then they have to explain it and display it to me. And, you know, I vacillated back and forth about what message that was sending them, but I'm not winning the war on video game time. So in a if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing, I thought, well, what skill can we get out of this? And what I focused on was the presentation of the thing and, you know, being able to make something and then describe it to someone and tell someone what motivated you to make this and why did you include that particular aspect and what would you think if this was a real thing in the real world, what would come of this? And so it gave us an opportunity to have more dialogue. So that's how we have embraced Minecraft in our house as far as part of our curriculum at this juncture.
Right. I love that, that you have them present it to you. That's not something I had thought of. I'm always looking for ways to incorporate writing. I just feel like it's so important, and I just want them to write. And yeah, honestly, that was a big factor when I took my kids out of public school. You know, they had decided not to do cursive, and they were getting issued iPads instead of textbooks. And, I mean, that's all fine. I know that's the way of the world and that's the way things work, but it's just not what I wanted for my kiddos. I believe writing is important, and I love that.
Yeah, I would love it. You know, that's a great idea if you wanted to incorporate writing as the precursor to that. Like, sit down, write out your plan for what it is you're going to make, then make it, then present your plan. Because, you know, that emulates how things work in the real world, right? You and I sit down, we make a list, we sketch out an outline or whatever we do. And also then you can have them write it on the backside, too. Now write this up as if you're going to sell it to me. What would the ad look like? Or, you know, video an ad for me. It's just, like I said, this time, being a child that's going to be educated in this time, it's just unlimited.
It is, and I think that, you know, everybody, I think we'll all agree, we all think video games are evil. But in reality, computers are a part of our world. They're not going away. You know, they're not going away. So, you know, like you said, if you can't, you know, beat them, join them kind of a thing, I guess that's probably a good way to say it. But I think that the most important thing to do is, you know, direct your road school around video games and use them as a resource, you know, instead of something that's against, you know, if you're way against it, I mean, you know that's how that works. If you don't
right.
want them to do something, they're going to do it anyway. So ease up a little
bit.
Ease up a little bit and, you know, try to use it to your advantage. There's a way. It just
right.
may take a little bit of creative thinking. So I think we should definitely explore that in one of our future shows.
Absolutely. You know, the biggest slap in the face to me was most of the time while I was yelling about the video games, I was sitting on my computer.
Oh, I know, and I'll be the first one to say that. I get mad at them, you know, at night, or get off your computer, and I, you know, I'm doing the same thing. So
right.
Lead by example. Lead by example.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I think that's the whole show tonight. What's going on at Road Trip Teacher this week? Anything exciting?
You know, we're going to be on the road, so we are going to be exploring the Great Smoky Mountains on our way to Florida, starting on a new study guide for that national park. We're very excited about that. It's actually the most visited park in the country. We've been through that area many times, but have not actually ever went through the park, so I'm excited to get to do that. And really, we're just kind of, it's going to be the adjustment week for us getting back on the road and remembering what it's like to be in a different place, you know, for a few nights and how to keep the road school working on the road and all that. So this will be the week of adjustment for us. So ask me next Sunday night.
Okay, I will do that. We are going to be wrapping up our work camper experience. And as I've been saying, I've been writing in my head Confessions of a Work Camping Family. So you're going to want to look for that blog post coming shortly. We are in the process of having full-time families completely redesigned, and I was able to get a first draft of what it looks like, and I am blown away. I am just blown away. This is one of the best things that we could have done. It's just, it's the site is so concise and well laid out, and it's very easy to find the things that you need, so I'm really excited about introducing that. And then I think that's it. Next week on the show, it's you and me discussing safety on the road, whether that be physical safety or safety online. We're going to be discussing all different aspects of safety on the road. And then the following week after that, we pick up where we left off with our Location Independent Dream Job series. If you've missed the first show, you're going to want to listen to that and sign up to get those exercises, because we're going to be discussing in detail some of the exercises that we've been having our dream jobbers do. I think that's all I've got.
Sounds good. I didn't know if I could talk about the new fulltimefamilies.com design, because I thought that might be super secret too, but I'm excited about your new website. It looks great. So far, looks great.
Yeah, thank you.
So we will see all of you same time, same place, here next week at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, 9 p.m. Eastern. And until then, safe travels from wherever in the world you are.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work. And may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.